Vice President Kamala Harris held her first campaign rally in Madison on Friday, and it drew more than 10,000 people. It's Monday, September 23rd, and this is Wisconsin Today Morning News. Good morning, I'm Alex Crow. Coming up on the show today, a concerning increase in the number of whooping cough cases in the state. The University of Wisconsin board considers whether to revoke tenure for a professor who made pornography, and Wisconsin breaks the record for the world's largest polka. Stay with us.
You keep your finger on the pulse of regional news when you tune in to Wisconsin Today. It's your support that makes these 10 minutes of headlines with context from around the state possible. Give now at wpr.org/givewitoday.
About 10,000 people turned out Friday night to a rally for Vice President Kamala Harris. As Anya Van Wagtendonk reports, many of them had deeply personal motivations.
Wisconsinites aren't strangers to presidential visits. Harris's Madison rally was her fourth trip to the Badger State in just 2 months, but it was her first campaign visit to the Democratic stronghold of Madison. Her supporters said they braved traffic and stood in line because her candidacy means something to them. That includes Manju Goyal, a doctor in Madison. She said she and her daughter were there because of Harris's stance on women's rights.
Totally proud as a South Asian, as a female, as a minority. So this is, it just hits on so many different levels.
Republicans argue that Harris's campaign is light on policy specifics and that her record in the White House with President Joe Biden speaks for itself. Anya Van Wagtendonk, Wisconsin Public Radio.
Whooping cough is on the rise in Wisconsin. The State Department of Health Services warned residents this week about a recent spike in the number of cases. The bacterial illness is most severe in infants. It causes prolonged coughing that can leave people gasping for breath. There have been at least 625 cases of the disease this year. Nearly half of those have been in teens and preteens. Dr. Stephanie Schauer leads the Wisconsin Immunization Program. She says people with whooping cough are infectious a week before symptoms and can spread the disease for 3 weeks after starting to cough.
If unrecognized, it spreads quite easily. That's sort of contributing to why we're seeing more cases in schools.
She says the best way to slow the spread of the disease is by making sure children and adults are up to date on their Tdap vaccine. Regents overseeing the universities of Wisconsin heard arguments on Friday as the board weighs whether to revoke Joe Gao's tenure. As Sarah Lear reports, the board fired Gao last year from his position as UW-La Crosse chancellor after discovering Gao had appeared in pornographic videos.
Even though he lost his chancellorship, Gao remains employed as a professor. But earlier this year, a faculty committee and the university's new chancellor recommended revoking Gao's tenure. Gao's attorney, Mark Leitner, warned that doing so would violate the former chancellor's free speech rights.
We need the First Amendment precisely when the danger of stifling controversial, unpopular speech is at its highest.
UW attorneys argued that Gao's adult content has been damaging to the university's reputation. They also accused Gao of misusing university technology, a charge that Gao denies. UW's board will vote on whether to terminate Gao's professorship at a later date. Sarah Lear, Wisconsin Public Radio.
Thousands of people arrived at the Cheese Days Festival in Monroe on Saturday to try and break a record. Their goal, the world's largest polka. Anna Marie Yanni has more.
Attendee Carl Kopotic wore a shirt that says polka. It's the law.
Music that sing
30 years ago, Wisconsin's governor officially designated polka as the state's dance at an event in Pulaski.
I'm from Pulaski and I was at that event.
He says polka is significant to Wisconsin's culture and to the European immigrants who brought it here.
It means a lot to a lot of, I think, my generation and generations before me, too.
More than 4,000 people signed up to polka. That's over four times more than the organizers needed to break the previous record in Germany. Anna Marie Yanni, Wisconsin Public Radio.
Coming up, from Wisconsin Life, a look behind a baseball dress made famous in the film A League of Their Own. Stay with us.
Some people wonder what it is that makes NPR's news coverage feel so personal. The answer's easy. We're talking to you. Listen weekday mornings to Morning Edition from NPR News.
And finally, it's time for Wisconsin Life. Here's producer Maureen McCullum with a story about a movie costume rooted in sports history.
In the early 1940s, many women stepped up to the plate to become professional baseball players after most men were drafted to serve in World War II. Hee-Won Lim brings us the story of the players on the Racine Belles and specifically their uniform, which was a dress. It was made famous in the 1992 film A League of Their Own. One of the movie's costumes is part of the Wisconsin 101 collection, which tells the history of the state through objects.
In 1943, Philip Wrigley, a gum manufacturer and owner of the Chicago Cubs, came up with an idea. Professional baseball players had to turn their attention to World War II, but that didn't mean baseball had to go away. So he formed the All-American Girls Professional Baseball League. Wrigley recruited players from across the country, but the first four teams were based in the Midwest. Two were based in Wisconsin, the Kenosha Comets and the Racine Belles. The Belles were briefly featured in the movie A League of Their Own. Although the film came out over three decades ago, the iconic costumes have stood the test of time.
You all have to get fitted for your uniforms. And this is what they're going to look like.
Pretty darn nifty, if you ask me.
How about that, Billy?
You can't slide in that.
I like it.
Hey, that's a dress. It's half a dress.
Excuse me, that's not a baseball uniform.
Yeah, what do you think we are, ballplayers or ballerinas?
Costume designer Cynthia Flint says she consulted former players and clothing catalogs from that time period.
I received a whole uniform, socks, belt, those little undershorts. Really, I just copied it.
The uniforms worn by the female ballplayers consisted of a belted short-sleeved tunic dress with a flared skirt. Flint says the lack of protection from skirts led to injuries.
I mean, I guess the thing that was always so striking was about that they had to wear these skirts and the injuries that they got from sliding in, you know, the bruises and the scrapes. I mean, their thighs were a mess.
Former Racine Belles player Sophie Curries talked about this in an interview with Grand Valley State University. She says the red abrasions from sliding into dirt base running were called strawberries.
Strawberry bunch upon strawberry. And even today, sometimes I get up and say, uh-oh, this bothers me a little bit, but not bad. When it's sore, it leaks, but our chaperone was pretty sharp. She made a donut affair and put it across the strawberry so that it wouldn't leak on my clothes, because if it did, man, it would stick to you and you'd try to pull that off and you'd be in agony.
Rules stated that skirts were to be worn no more than 6 inches above the knee, but the regulation was often ignored so players could run in field. The players also attended a charm school to ensure that they displayed ladylike behavior. Curry says players always had a skirt or dress on hand in case they needed to go in public.
And you know, when we had pit stop, the girls, but if they had shorts on, we had to put our dresses or skirts on, because we never could be seen in public with shorts or slacks. Never.
When taking the characters' backgrounds into consideration for the costume designs, Flint says the players' reaction to playing baseball in skirts makes sense.
Well, I mean, those women were farmers and wore pants and overalls, and I think there was a genuine, like, really, we have to wear dresses? This is insane.
The Racine Belles played for 8 seasons in Wisconsin from 1943 until 1950, when they moved to Michigan. The team relocated to Battle Creek and then to Muskegon, playing 3 more seasons, but the Belles folded in 1953. The rest of the league went out of business in 1954. The All-American Girls Professional Baseball League was quietly forgotten, until the release of A League of Their Own 40 years later, which grossed over $132 million at the box office.
Hee-Won Lim brought us that story on the Racine Belles movie costume, which is part of the Wisconsin Historical Society's collection. It's also a part of the Wisconsin 101 Project, which tells the history of the state through objects.
Wisconsin Life is a co-production of Wisconsin Public Radio and PBS Wisconsin in partnership with Wisconsin Humanities. Additional support comes from Lowell and Mary Peterson of Appleton. I'm Maureen McCollum.
I love that movie, A League of Their Own. And no, it's not just because I'm from Racine, although it is kind of cool seeing Racine highlighted in that movie as well. That'll do it for this Monday. Thanks for joining us for Wisconsin Today Morning News. I'm your host, Alex Crow, and our producers today were Mallory Chang and Rob Menser. We're back in your podcast feed again tomorrow morning with the latest news, so until then, have a great rest of your day. We'll talk to you again soon.